Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for this evening, the opportunity again to join together in opening your word. Lord, though we may be few in number, we are rich, so blessed in all that you have provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for just the mystery of redemption and salvation through Christ. And Lord, we pray that as we open your word tonight, that you would be in the center of this time. And Lord, help me to just be able to encourage those that you have brought in the ongoing studying of your word and application of your word in each of our lives. We ask you to bless this time and be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening, I'm going to take a few minutes to go on a tour. Like the pastor talked about a couple of weeks ago when we diverted from 1 Peter and we went to Lamentations. I'm not going to go to Lamentations tonight, but I would like to spend a few minutes in Numbers. Numbers is one of those mysterious Old Testament books that's not normally focused on, but it, along with Leviticus, cover many of God's instructions to the people after they left Egypt. The Israelites, as you know, were in the desert for 40 years, and the book of Numbers covers that time. However, the book of Numbers is very selective. The book of Numbers covers two periods of time during those 40 years. The first 2 years and the 40th year. And everything else is a barren disobedience. And in a way, the silence is kind of indicative of what happened because of the people's sin. They were judged, and they were to be in the desert and die in the desert. And so they lived in the desert for 40 years. The first 19 chapters cover the first 2 years and include the time when God brought the people to the edge of Canaan at Kadesh, and the people refused to go in. If you recall, that was the whole matter of Joshua and Caleb saying, "Let's go," and all the other 10 spies say, "Oh, we can't possibly go." The last part of the book, chapters from 20 to the end, cover the 40th year when the second generation actually went into the land. So there's this big gap in between. The detailed conquest of the land, of course, is covered in Joshua, and it's not recorded in Numbers. But during most of these 40 years in the desert, life was about survival and death in the desert. Tonight, we will not look at the whole book of Numbers, but I wanted to briefly discuss the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6. Because this blessing is early in the time after they left. And God has already brought them, given them the law, and brought them out in the desert. They're still at Sinai. And he Moses gave Moses to give to Aaron and his sons this blessing, which would be for the benefit of the people, children of Israel. So it was a gift of God. And part of what was happening here is they were learning to wait on God. They hadn't gotten to Kadesh yet. They hadn't sinned. And this was God's blessing. It's a source of comfort, I think, to anyone. It's an encouragement. It's a constant reminder of the Lord's presence. This was a blessing, especially that Jennifer McKinley appreciated. And we were able to share that with her the last time we saw her. It is a blessing that every one of us can appreciate. Let's look at these verses from 22 to 27 in chapter 6 of Numbers. It's very brief, and I know it's somewhat familiar, I'm sure, but let me just read it. And the Lord, this is New King James, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Look at the number of times we see blessing in that short passage. These are precious verses, and they were meant for the obedient Israelites. But I believe this is a blessing that we can claim in our own day as well. It's certainly something we all need to be reminded of and be aware of in each of our lives, for sure. Throughout the passage, look at the references to Lord. We see Lord in verse 22, verse 24, verse 25, verse 26. This Lord is Jehovah God. He is the existing God. It's the proper name of the one true God. This blessing was given by the one eternal Lord God to Moses to be an instruction for Aaron and his sons. This short prayer was the way for Aaron to bless the people, the children of Israel. Remember, they were all Jews at this point. Maybe there was a few servants that had come along, but in any case, they were basically all Jews. Let's look at verse 24. Verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. This verse encompasses two important truths, including the specific giver and the recipient of the blessing. And also, we see the Lord God as the giver of blessing and the one who keeps his children. So, first of all, the blessing of God is a most special gift from God. We have seen earlier in Genesis how God provided a similar promise to Abraham. To Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12. Let me read a couple of verses here. You don't have to turn, but you can if you want. Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses. This was the promise, it was of course called Abram then, but this is the promise of the Lord to Abram. And this is how it reads, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So the blessing of God we see here to Abraham is a promise of him becoming a great nation, having a great name, and being a blessing to all the families of the earth. That was God's promise. For man, blessing from God is always a benefit which cannot be purchased. We can't earn it. It's not a work. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. The blessing of God, or directed to God, is to bring him adoration and praise and thanksgiving, to worship him, to glorify him. And in the end, that's why we're here, is it not? He blesses us, but we are to bless him. We are to glorify him. We are to worship him. God is a God who provides all of his constant blessings. He started giving his abundant blessings in Genesis 1, chapter 22. Chapter 1, verse 22, where he blessed the creation and he told it to be fruitful and to multiply. We cannot do that on our own. God is the one who blesses the womb and opens the womb. All good gifts come from our great Creator God. As we were singing tonight, our great God. What beautiful hymns. Some of those verses just light you up. At least they did me, anyway. So back to number 624, the Lord bless you. Realize God's merciful benefit, which he provides to you. Do not take any of his provisions for granted. So often, things happen and we just kind of take things for granted after a while. All of his blessings are for our benefit. The Israelites had already seen many of his practical provisions. They'd seen water in the desert. They'd received food, the bread. In fact, they had also the cloud to protect them from the heat during the day and the fire by night. Actually, not only to give light, but also heat. Desert gets very cold at night. God was richly blessing in their basic needs. But he also brought them from idolatrous Egypt to provide their own land for them in his time, a land of abundant benefit, flowing with milk and honey. He'd given them his law that they might know his holiness and his perfection in all things, and to understand their need to depend on him. God wants us to be a dependent people, not an independent people. Our natural inclination is to be independent, but God wants us to be depending on him, to worship him. And they soon found that the law could never save them. Even though God gave them the law, it was not the means to become right with him. It was to be obedient. In all things, God required obedience and his glory to be lifted up. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I always love to go back to this passage because I think it's so instructive. But in Deuteronomy 28, Moses wrote there of God's constant, ongoing blessing for his people. And what was the condition? Obedience. That they would be obedient. This is what he described in the first 14 verses. That as they were obedient and faithful unto him, there were so many blessings. They would be known as a holy people unto himself, verse 9. They would have more than they needed, verses 11 to 13. And they would even become a lender to other nations in verse 12. And God would provide for them in the rain, in the food, all that they needed as they were obedient. But of course, there also has to be a reminder of what happens if you're not obedient. And this chapter is 68 verses long, and from verse 15 to 68 are the warnings for disobedience, the warnings for the consequences of disobedience. So not only in Numbers 6:24, as we go back there, we thank the Lord for all of his blessings, but also he is a keeping God for his people. The Lord bless you and keep you. This is in part what was described in Deuteronomy 28, verse 7, where it said that keeping is the action of his protection, that he would provide protection for them, that he would guard them. They would be under his care. It would be like a hen protects her chicks. The Lord has that kind of care for his people. It's that hedge of protection behind and before. Such a beautiful image in our minds. So not only, though, does he provide blessing and the keeping for his people, we see the confirmation of how he's going to do that in verses 25 and 26. It is by his grace in verse 25. He is gracious to you. In verse 26, as we look to him, he will give us peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. These are communicated in the blessing through his shining face and his loving countenance in these two verses. In fact, the face and the lifted up countenance are the same Hebrew word in both verses. It's like it's repeated for emphasis. His shining face and his uplifted countenance both remind us of his constant presence and understanding of our lives. For his eye is a keeping eye. And he knows not only what's on the outside, he knows what's in the inside. He knows our heart. He knows our needs. And he directs our paths. Verse 25, the Lord is gracious to all those who he is blessing and keeping. His marvelous grace is not something we can earn. It's nothing he is obligated to give, but completely it is his magnanimous blessing. We know from other parts of Scripture, his grace is the reason for salvation. His grace is the source of our comfort in this life, even when circumstances are difficult. And his grace is our basis for hope for all eternity. In verse 26, and we see what else comes with his marvelous grace, is peace in this life. Our lives need that peace, for there is no peace in anything or anyone else. Everything that we value today that is not invisible is temporary. Everything will go away. Our families, our wealth, our cars, whatever we have, there's going to be a time when it has no value. The only thing that matters is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything on this earth is temporary and it will fail. Everything. Only the Lord can provide a needed peace in this life and hope for all eternity. I love Virgil, the 95-year-old, maybe he's 96 now, who comes in the morning, for those of you that come in the morning. And he's a very interesting guy, because he's outlived most all of his family and his wife. But he says, everything is temporary. At this point in his life, he can look and he can see. None of it's going to really matter. But knowing Jesus and trusting in him. So verse 27, Moses is promised, as Aaron and his sons do what the Lord has prescribed, the Lord will put his name on the people and bless them. They are to be known as the Lord's people. Verse 27, they shall put my name on the children, Aaron and his sons, as they bless them. They shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Lord puts his name on that which he owns, that which he protects, that which he provides for. They are to be known as the Lord's people, as they are his testimony and his ambassadors to the pagan world. He will preserve them as his own and give them his grace, his peace, his blessing. The true blessing for all of us in our day has an added dimension in the fruit of the Abrahamic promise, the promise that in Abraham all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And how is that? It is through the fruit of that promise that we have the suffering Savior. We have the Victor King, our great Redeemer God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ will always be the answer to our true need and the one who is our true blessing. He is peace in this life, and he is our hope for eternity. Praise God. All things do work together for good and for his glory. This Aaronic blessing, I think it's a helpful blessing. It's a very short passage. I think it's good to have it memorized and to be able to share it with others as the Lord gives opportunity today as well. I think it's an encouragement to anyone and an opportunity to pray with and pray over others as we depart their company. I like to share it wherever the Lord gives me the open door for opportunity. And it can be an opening to share of the great eternal hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read it again for you. Verses 24 to 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Or if you're familiar with King James or you use King James, I think it's even more beautiful. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Peace. May we constantly be rejoicing to obey God's loving direction in our lives. Be attentive to his Spirit, to share with others his truth of the blessed Redeemer and his grace and peace for his glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this blessing. Thank you for this time tonight when we could open your word and look at this short passage. And Lord, thank you for the encouragement that it is for me. I pray it's an encouragement for these that you have brought this night. And I pray, Lord, as we go to our separate ways, as we come before you for direction in this new week, that we will be refreshed knowing that it is through you we are blessed, and through you we have peace and hope for all eternity. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.